Thank you so much. This is presentation number two. So for those who attended yesterday, I think I was the first speaker. Now, today I'm the final speaker. We will have a panel discussion at the end of this as well. but yeah, thank you so much for listening. Lots of familiar faces. So thanks for your interest in buying a family home here in Japan. I'll quickly repeat my introduction just for those who haven't seen me before. My name's Emil. I'm a real estate agent here in Tokyo and also a home loan advisor. I help usually foreign residents, often foreign couple, or one of them will be a Japanese spouse, buy their family home here in Tokyo. I've got a family myself. I learnt about this through my own trials and errors. My first house that I purchased was in Shibuya in 2013. That was a brand new build, a three-bedroom family home. My wife we were pregnant with our first child, and you know, time to sort of man up and buy a place. We did that in 2013. Then in 2 years later, we were pregnant with our next kid, and we saw an opportunity to buy a slightly bigger house. That was a brand new house in Setagaya near Shimokitazawa. So that's a four-bedroom house, and so we purchased that one. So I sort of did it twice in 2 years, and a lot of my clients that I work with are in a similar situation as to what I was then. Okay, young family, just engaged, just married, baby on the way, or maybe they've got a very small child and they are looking for their first home. So I help them with that process. And I think one of the things that I do a little bit different to other Japanese agents is I share a lot of my experience and my thoughts on what I feel is a suitable family home, what are key things to look out for when you're trying to find a place that you want to raise your family. Okay, so I've got three children under 10, 10, 9, and 6 years old, boy, boy, girl. They go to local Japanese school. We try to go back to Australia regularly to help them sort of, you know, learn English and spend time with the family. I like to have my, you know, the in-laws or my parents come and visit to Japan for extended periods so they can stay with the family. And so there are certain needs and requirements you have of a house when you do this. And so when we do the house search, I like to share my experience. My eldest is 10, almost 11. So just my experience with this and the size of the house and what the house needs are, I like to share this with my clients, which I think ordinary Japanese agents don't really do so much. Okay, so that's my kind of value add. And as I've mentioned before, I do genuinely care that you buy a house that you will love and that you will be comfortable raising your family. I find most times when I take clients out to view houses, I often tell them what I dislike about the house, why I don't think it's suitable, why I don't, like, you know, it's just my two cents, but I have a lot of sense to give. Why I think this might not be the best property for what you're planning with your family. How many kids do you want? You know, one, two, or three? You want three kids and you're looking at a two-bedroom or a three-bedroom with a really small third bedroom? I'm going to bring that up as I think that's a concern point. I'm not trying to sell you every house. I'm trying to give you some extra pointers of what I think is suitable for you. That's what a lot of today's presentation is going to be about. Life stage considerations. Okay, where are you in your life stage? Still, you know, are you planning on getting married soon, etc.? You know, how many families? What's a family planning like? Seems like kind of strange questions for your agent to ask, but I kind of need to know this, and I'll reflect on my own personal experience, you know, to try to give you some thoughts and tips. And then we'll get into the nitty-gritty of, you know, house versus mansion, the difference between the two, new versus used, okay, the pros and cons for each one. Room size guidelines, and again, this is about part of the family planning, what makes sense, and a lot of that is from my personal experience with, you know, my three kids and the layout and size of my house, which I found find a lot of clients are in a similar kind of, you know, size and structure. Influencing factors about price, okay? Age of the building, etc. Then we talk about the purchase flow chart, and then we'll open up to Q&A. So Yesterday's presentation was all about money and financing, home loans. Today's discussion is all about the property itself. Okay, so for the life stage considerations, you want it to be suitable for at least the next 10 to 15 years. 5 to 10 years, but even a bit longer. If you buy a place that probably within 3 to 5 years, you think, I need to change it, you probably didn't do enough, you know, planning at the purchase stage. You should kind of know within 3 to 5 years, are you planning on getting married? Are you, you know, or do you have a kid along the way? Are you thinking of maybe a second kid? Right? There's a whole bunch of stuff that you should be able to know, you know, if within the next 5 years, what will be good. There are, of course, unforeseen circumstances that can happen. But if I get, like, you know, a guy who's 31, 32 years old and he's been with his girlfriend for 3 years, and the girlfriend's a similar age, and they're looking at a 2LDK apartment, I'll say, look, you guys are planning on getting married? And, oh, yeah, maybe. Planning on having kids? Yeah, maybe. Well, maybe this 2LDK within 2 or 3 years, if you've already been together for 3 years, have that sort of thought about it, right? Foresight. And the reason I do say this is because usually when you purchase a property, I mentioned yesterday, it's about 6 to 8% in closing costs. When you sell a property, all right, it's 3% closing costs for the agency fee. So basically, in any buy and sell transaction, you're about 10% down in costs. And although interest is very low, and in 3 to 5 years you'll be paying off, instead of paying rent, you'll be paying off a lot of mortgage, and the equity will go down, the loan will go down. Even if you buy now and sell in 2 years' time for a very similar price, you've lost 10% just in transaction cost. That's why I say it's probably not the best. Sorry, 1 second. What's up to? It's probably not the best decision to just sell within 2 or 3 years financially. You'd be better off maybe renting, okay, just because of the 10% transaction cost. Do you work from home? During COVID, a lot of people were saying, look, I can now work from home 3, 4, 5 days a week, or I only need to go into the office 2 days a week. So I can be further from the station, like further down the train line, away from central Tokyo. I can be a longer walk from the station, but I need an extra room. I need an office because I can't have the kids coming in. You know, so many people were working out of the kitchen when COVID first started, right? They weren't set up to work from home. Working from the kitchen, kids come home at 1, 2, 3 p.m. from school. Good luck getting any work done at that time. So during COVID, that's what I saw a lot of people doing. Home office, but it's okay to be further away from the station because commute is less frequent, okay? The weight of the convenience of access into downtown Tokyo just became less. Or alternatively, are your kids, you know, 16, 17 years old, high schoolers, are they going off to university soon? And you're going to be an empty nester. You've now got a large house that you need to downsize. A lot of us will experience that with our parents. When we've left, our parents are like, okay, they've got the big family house. They're just there by themselves. They need to downsize. So in that case, maybe a mansion is more suitable. Okay, two bedroom, no stairs. So you don't, you know, as you get older, you don't have to go up and down stairs. Maintenance is easier, insulation's easier. Anyway, so there's a few things to consider. Do you have pets? Car parking? Do you think you need a car and car parking necessity? And then also a big one is your current versus future income. Okay, and this particular one regarding the financing side of things. A lot of people, when they purchase, they'll say, okay, my current, like, you know, we base the rental on the yesterday's presentation. I said, there's two ways to calculate budget. One is how much the bank will give you, The other one is how much you're comfortable paying back monthly. And the people who base their budgeting on how much they're comfortable paying back monthly use their current income as the basis for it. So they say, oh, I'm happy paying back 200,000 yen per month. But on your current income, if you're, you know, a young family, maybe you're 30 years old, do you think that you've reached the your maximum earning potential for your career? Or do you think your income will keep rising into your 40s? Which, you know, statistically, that's what happens, right? I think mid-40s is your income earning peak. So with that in mind, maybe it's okay to stretch a little bit now with the expectation that in a few years' time, your income will increase to be able to meet that requirement. So I do think consider what your future income would be. The flip side is also kind of true. If you are a dual income, you know, you and your wife, you don't have kids yet, dual income, you can maybe borrow a lot of money. But you know you plan on having two or three kids, your wife's income is not going to be there for maybe 6 or 7 years whilst you have those kids. You know, she'll be on maternity leave, right? Or maybe out of the workforce completely. So now we're going to have a hit in the discount, so in the income. So you don't want to overstretch yourself if you're in that situation as well. So there's a bit of planning to do, but definitely, you know, just one of the considerations I like to put there. Alrighty, now let's talk about the property itself. All right, the two big points are like the kind of property and the age of the property. So a house versus a mansion. Okay, let's touch on that one first. A house is generally two or three stories. So it has stairs, and that's a different kind of lifestyle than having a mansion. A mansion is generally one floor. Okay, I mentioned before, if you're an empty nester, you're older, you know, 55, 60 years old, and you think the next 15 years or so, do you still want to be going up and downstairs when there's no one else in the house? Or is it nicer to have everything level? If you have a car, one of the benefits with a house is often the car parking is included in the land area. Whereas with a mansion in Japan and in Tokyo, car parking is rarely included. You need to rent it separately. Okay, even if you pay, you know, 2 or 3 oku, 300 million yen for a property, good chance that you still need to rent parking for 40 to 60,000 yen a month, which is what, you know, around this area will be. You don't have a management company if you own a house. So there's no kanrihi, like ongoing monthly building management that you need to pay. But there are repair costs that you will, you know, every 10 years. So my house now that I've got, it's 10 years old. So I need to do the exterior maintenance, all the painting and re-waterproofing and repaint the roof, right? That's on me. Another thing is you cannot really find a small house much under 70 square meters. There could be some, but in general, they're about 80 square meters or 90 and above. Yeah, the floor area, sorry, total floor area. So if you want a two-bedroom, 2LDK place, or one-bedroom, maybe a mansion is the better choice. You'll have more places that fit that category than the house. One more thing, a house is generally a wooden structure. There are sometimes concrete houses, but generally they're made of wood. Okay, so things like insulation is, the modern houses are still good, but they're not going to be as good as a concrete mansion, right? A mansion, on the other hand, you know, it's single floor, you have to pay for parking. There is ongoing management fee, the kanrihi, the building management, the little old man that sits at the front of the entrance and puts your trash away and or complains that you didn't, you know, put your trash away properly, tells you you have too many friends coming over, all that sort of stuff. You have to pay for him, and so he gets a full-time salary. A building management company also have to manage all the plans for the maintenance and repair. There is also a maintenance and repair cost you need to pay for a mansion on top of that. However, I kind of compare that also with a house. With a house, you still have to take care of your maintenance as well, but at your own time. Now, new versus used, look, generally for house and mansion, I tell people there's no better or worse. Really, at the end of the day, it's what you would prefer, okay? It's where you're going to raise your family, where you want to be. So whatever your personal preference is, that's what you should go for. They both have their pros, they both have their cons, but what you're more comfortable with, and often that's where you were raised, you know? And Westerners often, most of my clients end up buying a house, not a mansion, because we grew up in houses. That's what our idea of is of raising a family. Where we were raised is we had a house, we had a little yard, right? We had our private space, didn't have to go to an elevator to get to our apartment. So that is reflected in where they often want to raise their own family. But now new versus used is probably a more interesting consideration, and often because there are some misconceptions about this. The first big misconception is that a new house is like a new car in Japan, because they talk about building depreciation. A brand new house is worth nothing. You know, houses are worth nothing after 20 years. And then people think, well, that's like a car. When I buy a brand new car, I drive it off the lot and it loses 25% of its value. But you can't buy a one-year-old house for 25% cheaper than a new house. That's not available. And you can't get a 20-year-old house for free, right? Technically they're worth nothing. That's not really the case. So the first kind of example in terms of driving a new a car off the lot and it losing 25%, that doesn't happen. A brand new house or a one-year-old or two-year-old house is pretty much the same price. The car analogy is because a car dealer gets wholesale prices, okay? A $40,000 car, the dealer can buy it for $30,000 wholesale. And so if you bought the car for $40,000 and then you want to go back the next day and sell it back to him, he's only going to pay you under $30,000 for it because he has wholesale prices. That is not the same with houses. There's no wholesale price of houses that you can just... the dealer just makes a premium off. So that analogy or that mindset is wrong. A new house is not like a new car where you lose 25% the moment you drive it off the lot. The next thing is houses are worth nothing after a wooden house is worth nothing after like 25 years. You guys listened to Daigo Sensei just before about taxation. Accounting depreciation for a wooden structure is a 22-year lifespan. That's why people think wooden houses have a 22-year life and after that they're worth zero. That's a tax office assessment of houses. In practice, you cannot just buy a 20-year-old house and think it's valued for nothing. In the same way as a six-year-old car, by accounting standards, if you buy a car, 6 years is depreciation for business use. You can't get a six-year-old car for free, right? Especially a nice one. And also with depreciation, it's only the building value, not the land value. So I mentioned before in like Setagaya area where I live now, 100 million yen house is about 20 million yen for the land, for the building value, and 80 million yen for the house value. Okay, so even if the building is say 15 or 20 years old and depreciated down to 50% of its value, you can have two properties side by side, a brand new property at 100 million yen and a 20-year-old property that's depreciated 50%, and that will be 90 million yen. All right, so there's not a great deal of difference between new and used properties. Also with a new property, you get the latest designs, the latest fittings. You get some better tax breaks as well, tax rebates for having a home loan on a brand new property. You get structural guarantees. You get guarantees on the fixtures like wallpaper, the electric toilet seat, the kitchen faucet. That's all, my house is largely Panasonic and Toto. So those manufacturers will give a two-year guarantee on those items. So a used house can be cheaper only for the building value, but also in terms of renovation cost. You know, a renovation cost is about 500,000 to a million yen per 10 square meters. And if you want to change the wet areas, bathroom, toilets, kitchen, and wallpaper, you can, on a, you know, 80 square meter house, that's about, you know, four to 8 million yen. Okay, almost kind of like, you know, not the full amount of the depreciation or the cheaper price, but it's not nothing. Okay. One of the benefits of a new property, if you buy it during construction, which I did for my second house, was you can select maybe the wallpaper or the floor color. I made my kitchen sink a little bit higher because they hadn't ordered it yet. So standard height is 85 centimeters. I ordered a 90 centimeter one. So you can make some small changes within the price, within the you know, certain range. And some modifications I had to pay extra for. You know, like my toilet seats, when you go in, they open up automatically. So that was a little upgrade I had to pay extra for. With a used house, though, one of the benefits is often you can see it, exactly what it's like, it's established, versus a new house that's off the plan or just a skeleton stage. But I tell people often at the end of the day, one of the, like, if you're looking and if you find something that really checks all the boxes really well, the location, the layout, the rooms, the amount of light it gets, then whether it's new or used, you know, as long as you're quite comfortable with it, then that's probably the right choice. That said, sometimes with a used property, if it is a little bit old and often 15 to 20 years for a young family is the usable life of a house before you become an empty nester. So if you've got a young family and you've got a new baby or a two-year-old, three-year-old, in 20 years' time, they're off to university. So now you're at home alone, it's time to sell and downsize, right? You're that older person now. So if you've bought a 20-year-old house, now when it comes down time to sell, it's a 40-year-old house, or if you want to rent it out. That could be a bit challenging with such an old house in the Japanese market. So a new house in 20 years' time when you want to sell it is still very resellable, very rentable. A 20-year-old house is fine to buy now, but when it's 40 years old, it could be a bit more difficult to sell, a bit more difficult to rent out. Okay, and the value won't be there even for someone to renovate it. I just mentioned that. Key consideration, after 20 years, will it be easy to rent out or not? For a wooden house, you know, Ziv mentioned before, don't buy stuff over wooden structures, don't buy stuff much over 20 years because the exit plan is going to be a bit tough. For concrete structures, you have a little bit longer, I think 30 years, you said, buy under that. I feel similarly with buying your own personal house. Okay, some size considerations. So in Japan, you know, I think a lot of us are familiar with one jaw, one J, one tatami size. Very common room size is six tatami, rokujo. Okay. One tatami is 1.6 square meters. Not really a useful number in itself, but six tatami is 10 square meters. Knowing this kind of number is really helpful when you're looking at property sizes. The difference between a 80 square meter property and a 100 square meter property is two rokujo bedrooms in size. And that excludes the closet. So, you know, when you're saying, oh, I need an 80 square meter and 90 square meter, not a big difference. Well, it's actually one bedroom difference. That's the difference between a two or three bedroom or three or four bedroom. And although maybe the living room is a bit bigger, some corridors are a bit bigger, etc., it's not necessarily a bedroom, right? When just knowing that rokujo is 10 tatami gives you a bit of guidance to work with. you know, one jaw is 1.6 square meters. It's very, very difficult to really make any sense out of. The other point is, I like to tell families when we go in is, look, roku jaw is, six jaw is okay for a bedroom, but a master bedroom with a big double bed or the queen size bed and a bit of a dresser and clothes could be a bit tight. So maybe for the master, having 7 to 9 jaw is good, and a little bit bigger is nice. But even developers often won't make rooms much bigger than this. When they get to like 10 or 12 jaw, they'll make 2 roku jaw or 2 5 jaw bedrooms. They won't make just one big 14 jaw bedroom. Okay. When you look at the second and third bedroom, maybe a 6 jaw, 2 6 jaw bedrooms, or even 5 jaw, 4.5, if it's the third and fourth bedroom, is okay. All right. But if it's like a master is like 6 jaw, and then 2 4.5 jaw bedrooms on a 3-bedroom house, and you want to have 2 or 3 kids, that's going to be a bit of a tight squeeze. And that's from my personal experience with 3 kids. When you look at bedroom measurements on the floor plan, they don't include the closets. And for LDK, living, dining, kitchen, you know, a lot of the houses that we look at, it's a space like this, you know, the kitchen counter, and then just, you know, dining and living, or some similar layout with a square, rectangle, etc. 16 to 20 jaw, you can fit a, you know, kitchen, dining table, and then a living room. Japanese developers think that, like, you know, about 6 jaw for a kitchen, a dining area, and 8 jaw for a living room is like the comfortable, intimate space. Once you start getting much beyond that, it loses some intimacy and you feel distant. That's why a lot of times you see that's kind of like 16 to 20 or 24 jaw, like these, is the larger sizes. And after that, they'll make it another bedroom with maybe a sliding partition door. So you don't have a 30 jaw living, dining, kitchen. You might have 24 jaw, and then there'll be a sliding partition for the other 6 jaw room next to it.
That works really well once your kids become teenagers, which is when they stop hanging out in the living room and they retreat to their own room, and then you can just partition off another room as opposed to having it all in the dining. That really works well, actually.
Yeah, and that's, you see that common in mansions as well. They have that third room / partitionable, and that gives you flexibility as the family sort of, as the kids sort of grow older. One second. Okay. Now, actually, on this note, how are we doing for time? Good.
You got 15 minutes, including questions.
Let me just. All righty, which is the one I wanted to show. No, sorry, this one here. Okay, this is a property in, where is it? Is it in Setagaya? Is it Kitazawa? No, I don't remember the exact location. No, I'll see when I shrink it. This is a brand new house. This one was sold. So let's just look at this side here. This is a three-story house, okay, 130 square meters, 138 million yen. So just under $1 million US. This is a brand new building. Okay, this is, so the living, dining, kitchen, we'll look at there first. And this is 20.9 jaw. Very nice, like, you know, ordinary sort of kitchen with a large pantry area. The dining room space, and then the living room space here. Okay, kind of, you know, separated. But when you have 21, almost 21 jaw, I think that's quite a nice usable space for a dining area and a living area. Okay. Pantry is not included in the 20.9 Joel, neither is the staircase. Okay. I find something like this to be, you know, reasonably cozy, like, when I say cozy, I don't mean cramped cozy. This is, you know, quite nice and comfortable. You have a master bedroom, a large bedroom down here, which is 8.8 Joel. Okay, that's quite nice and big with a big walk-in closet here. But also one thing that they've done, right, is this is considered a four-bedroom, I'd say. You can think three or four. It says here three LDK, four LDK is also possible. Okay, and some of the bigger properties will do this. So this is the other bedroom, six Joel. And then they've got here five Joel and five Joel, two 5 Joel rooms. But here they've got the dotted line. So actually right now it's one big open room, but they have already built in two doors. So having, if you wish in the future, like just say you make this your master bedroom now, a nice big master. If in the future you decide, look, you know, I have another kid, or I might move down here, we need the extra space. You can, for about 200,000 or 300,000 yen, so it's like, yeah, 2,000 US dollars, you can put up another wall here because there are two doors already set up. So now with some slightly bigger properties, they're starting to do this kind of easily convertible layout. Some of them will actually have the wall there already, but there's no supporting beams and the flooring already goes through. So it's, again, $2,000, so just remove it. This is just a bit of a, you know, guideline. When I send out flyers to people, these are the kind of the flyers that we send out. Okay, so if you're searching for a certain budget in a certain area, you know, once I get to know your needs and your requirements, I'll go through the list and I'll send you a whole bunch. We'll go and look at them. And when we go and do the viewing, I'll get an understanding of what you like, what you dislike. Like this particular person, we went out and had a look. She said, oh, I like outdoor space a bit. I want a balcony off the living room. And also getting her understanding of where the light is coming from, how much light she likes in rooms, or she wants maybe the master bedroom to be very bright, or they want it to be very dark. Based on that understanding of going, after doing it, you know, one afternoon, we went and viewed four or five houses. When I do the next search, I'll be able to identify some other things that I think are, this is great or this is crap. Okay? And she would send me, this particular person, they'll send me links online and say, how about this, how about that? Like they jump on Sumo and I like this one looks great. And I'll have a look and I'll say, yes, actually it does look great. Or I'll say, you said you don't like this. This house has these issues based on what you've told me you don't like. And because I look at a million of these day in, day out, I'm probably better at identifying what, you know, what the issue sort of could be. Like even with this one, this is a property that's located towards the back. Like this is not built yet. It's towards the back of the property here. And if I know she wants good light, and this is definitely going to be a no. Okay.
There's a bunch of questions in the chat too, and I'm sure questions in the room. So
okay, I'll how many do I have? I've got more. Influencing factors, flow chart. Okay, cool, almost there. Anyone also online or in the Zoom or here, please, we are trying to grow our social media channels, and I've got my social media girl there in the red dress with a laser pointed on her, who'll berate me when we get home if I don't mention that we are trying to grow the social media, so please like and follow. But and also if you want to book a consultation with me, you can do that through the link. Also, anyone who does have questions, back to that point, if you are looking for a property in sort of central Tokyo, about the 80 million yen and above, sort of the family homes, kind of like what I've been talking about, please, you can also book a Zoom meeting with me there. I know a lot of people, you know, even online will have questions that talk about numbers, talk about, you know, family planning, certain, it's a lengthy discussion we need to have. Generally, they're about 1 hour. So here, you know, you may be able to raise your hand and ask a very, very generic sort of question, but to really get to the nitty gritty, please feel free just to schedule a consultation. But now let's move on. The influencing factors is about price. I always say the age, size, location equal your budget. Okay, if you have a fixed budget, you need to compromise on your age, the size, or location. And by location, I mean, you know, do you want to be in Ibis? Do you want to be in Saitama? Or somewhere here in between? How far down the train line? And also, how many minutes walk from the train line? Are you right by a fire station? Right, it's going to be quite noisy. Emergency services all the time. Or are you in a quiet little street? Okay, how old is the property and how big is the property? So generally I say if you, you know, when you're doing a search, you jump, people have probably already started searching online, they jump on Sumo or At Home, they have a look at some listings. If in your budget you see there's a realistic sort of properties that you think this is a candidate in the area that you're looking for, then I think that's fine. But if you've looked and there's like zero in that, or the only thing is like a 35-year-old or 40-year-old house that's like this small, you probably need to change your location or increase your budget, okay? But some other important factors that you may not usually consider or not be aware of are the width of the street. So usually streets are 4 meters wide. If it's on a big road, like what we have right in front of us, like a 6 or 8 meter wide road, that land value is a lot higher, okay? If it is a southeast, and if it's one of those narrow streets where maybe one car cannot even drive down properly, it's really difficult to park a car, that land value is significantly cheaper, okay? Which I think for some people who want a family and the kids are gonna play outside, you don't want a lot of traffic coming through the car, through the street. So in that case, it might be a good opportunity to purchase a good value property. Southeast facing. Sorry. Okay. All right. I'll be quick. All right. Southeast facing gets nice sunlight, and make sure it's not on leased land. If it's leased rental land, shakuchiken, just avoid that. And non-regulation buildings, if they're built a little bit too big for the land that they're on. I'll race through this. If you want to buy a house, you find the property, you apply for loan pre-approval, we negotiate the price with the seller. Once the pre-approval is, we receive the bank pre-approval and we negotiate the price, we sign a contract and you pay a 5% deposit. Okay. After that, we do the formal bank loan application, sign the loan contract, and then we agree on settlement day. That's when the bank will transfer all the funds into your account, and then you pay the seller. We all meet at the bank for this, so there's no like gaps or anything that can happen. No one runs off with the money. And then at the end of that transaction, 1 hour at the bank, they receive the cash, you receive the keys. Congratulations, you're a homeowner. About 4 to 6 weeks. Inspection, you would, if you want to do a property inspection, you would do it before you sign the contract. Once you sign the contract and pay the deposit, that you, if you want to cancel, there's a penalty fee of the deposit amount. Okay, so you do all your inspections and what beforehand. But like in the US, I think in the US they always do it. Sorry? Yeah, it's contingent. Yeah, they don't do that in Japan. Do the inspection first, and if you're happy, then we'll sign the contract. We're not going to sign the contract and then wait for the inspection. Okay, thank you all very much. Let's open up to some Q&As. Sorry, I did feel that was rushing a little bit. Thank you, Ziv, for keeping me honest. Any questions?
I'll kick it off with two from the chat while people think about it. Kind of connected two questions. First, when considering the purchase of a used home, say 40 years old, how can you verify that the asking price is legit, is fair? And another one, when you're selling a property at this age, say 40, 50 years of age, is it maybe better to sell the land without the house, just demolish it, remove it because it's too old?
Okay, so for the second question, is it better to sell it as vacant, as cleared land, or just land with an old house that someone will tear down? Tear down costs are about 2 million yen. So if the house is a real dump and it's going to be torn down, and not like an akiya where in the countryside where the land is worth nothing either, but if you're like around the corner here, you're not going to keep a 50-year-old house. You're going to tear it down. Tear down value is 2 million yen. If it's cleared land versus land with the house, the difference in price is 2 million yen. So if it's the land is 50 million yen with the old house, if you tear down that house, you can sell it for 52. I mean, it's very straightforward. You're not getting, you know, much more. You can choose either way. And for
the price, how do you know if the price is right?
And how the price is right, when you've been searching, you kind of have an idea of, look, I'm looking in this particular area for a month or 2 months. You get a lot of data points. You've seen many properties. So you kind of get an idea. But a big one is land value. Compared to the others, what's the price per square meter for land? What's the price per square meter for building? All right. And so if it's a 80 square meter block of land and a 100 square meter building, just what's the square meter price? You know, just divide the purchase price by that, by the land, divide the purchase price by the building size. And you kind of have those figures, and you've seen a handful of properties. You kind of have a guidance for what the price is, and you can think if this particular property is fair or not.
It seems hard to get comparables for land price per square meter.
No, because... Okay, yeah. So you asked. So the question was: it seems hard to get comparables for land size per square meter. Well, not really, because it goes by square meter. So if you've got a 60 square meter block of land, there's going to be some other land, maybe 40, 50, 60, 100 square meters that's sold in the area, either for sale or sold in the past 1, 2, 3 years. Yeah. So. Yeah, but that's why you get a few different data points. And go, okay, does this seem within the upper and lower range? And that's, yeah. That's
hands,
it.
Hands.
Okay, any other questions from in the crowd? Yep. Yes, sir. Oh.
Thank you. Thank you for your presentation, by the way. So I thought that, you know, in your presentation you said earlier that in Japan it's actually the property that retains the value and not the land. I actually thought it was the other way around.
Actually, yeah, it is. It's the land that retains the value.
Okay.
The property depreciates in value. So yeah. I must have misspoke if I said the opposite.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. The land retains value. Right. It's the building which depreciates.
Right. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Thank you.
Hi. Yes. What are some cultural things about properties that maybe Westerners don't care about, but to the Japanese it would reduce the value of the property? Where are some good deals where I've heard stories about maybe somebody dying in the property? And for somebody who doesn't have religion or belief in ghosts or anything like that, they don't care. What are your thoughts about that?
Okay, yeah, so there's maybe two sides, like two parts of that, right? The question was, what are some cultural differences that maybe Westerners will value more that Japanese will devalue, or the opposite, right? So, and you sort of definitely alluded to that. Japanese don't like a property that is facing or adjoining a cemetery. So, all right. Or if there's a, they call it jikobuken, if there's been an unnatural death, be it a, you know, so a suicide or a murder, you know, suicide is probably the more common one, or what is also not entirely uncommon is if there's been a natural death, but you know, think of an elderly person, but it hasn't been found for like 1, 2, or 3 months. If it's only sort of 1 week or 2 weeks, that won't really classify. But if it's been sort of several months in there, they may classify it as a jikobuken. You need to notify the next person of it. So they call it stigmatized properties, is what the kind of formal translation is. That gets maybe a 25% discount off the price. But keep in mind that if it's one of those stigmatized properties, when you resell it, you must notify the next buyer of this situation. Okay? And that's perpetual. You can't not do that. Yes. If it's a house, then no, like it's just going to be land. It doesn't matter what happened before it. But if it's a mansion, for example, then you always need to notify. And you can renovate it and stuff, but you need to notify. There is a rule that you need to notify the next one or two tenants, but not beyond that if it's rental. However, there are some websites that have a map and all the fire marks of all the properties. And if a tenant, like with our agency, right, we have about 1,000 properties under rental management. If there is any of those properties, we always tell them, because what we don't want is the seller to, the tenant to come back and complain to us. We say, oh, but technically we didn't need to tell you. You don't want to have an upset tenant. You know, Japanese, like when you do real estate in Japan, it's all very straightforward. You don't argue with them. You want just sort of everyone to be comfortable and happy in the transaction.
Last question from the chat. We're already running late. Sorry. How important is it for wooden homes to buy them after the latest earthquake resistance standards, which I think is 2000 for wooden homes?
No, I think 1981 is probably the more significant standards for earthquake resistance for both mansions and houses. So, you know, the quality of the foundation requirement and how much shaking they need to withstand post 1981. And I think it's buildings that got their permits approved after June 1st, 1981. So you get some 1981 or maybe even 1982 buildings that are called Kyu Taishin. So Taishin means like seismic, Taishin Kijunho. So the Shin Taishin Kijunho, the new seismic requirements legislation, is for properties after that date. And those pre-81 buildings are called Kyu Taishin, so before seismic requirement regulation. So yeah, 1981 is kind of the line. But I've seen some 1982, even 1983, like larger buildings that were approved but didn't get the construction done, that took some time to get the construction done, that are considered Kyu Taishin. So you can try to avoid those. They can get some good deals, but that's the line in the sand.
Thank you. We've got the Q&A panel now, so we can keep asking a million questions, but we need to organize it for the rest of the speakers. So thank you.
Thank you very much.